This year, the United Methodist Church is going to be going back to some of its roots and annual conference. They're going back to Florida Southern, where we used to always have annual conference. I did my license to preach at Florida Southern, and when I got down there, I'm short. I thought this place is pretty cool because almost all the overhangs and the eaves and all that stuff are real low to the ground. And I ask around, why is it? And I never heard of this gentleman. And he said, oh, well, that's Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture. He's famous. I found out later he's famous all over the world for his architecture. But one time in his life, when he was 9 years old, him and his uncle, now we just had snow here recently, so you can relate to this, but I'm from Pennsylvania, and I don't know where he grew up in, but when it snows a lot of times, especially in the fields, it's just beautiful, you know, just nice and white. So him and his uncle were walking across the field together. And as they reached the other side of the field, his uncle stopped him and said, look at the tracks in the snow. You'll notice that some are straight and true, just like an arrow's flight. And then there's some that go this way. He says, you need to learn a lesson because you notice your tracks were wandering from the fence line over to the cattle, over to the woods, and then back again. And his uncle said, this is the lesson that you need to learn. See how my tracks aim directly to my goal where we were going? He said, that's an important lesson to remember forever. Well, years later, being a famous architect, he used to like to tell people when he had conferences and so forth to his philosophy in life. He said, he told the story about his uncle and him going down there and his uncle telling him, you got to keep your eyes on the mark and keep on going. Of course, Scripture says, keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling, which is Jesus. But he said, my philosophy in life changed. He said, I determined with a twinkle in his eye, he said, not to miss things in my life that my uncle had missed. And I always thought about that a little bit because Frank Lloyd Wright saw those tracks and what his uncle could not see because he wandered around and he saw some other thing. I waddle when I walk and I look and I go here and I go there and I usually always find some pennies on the ground and I walk with my head down sometimes, not that I'm sad, but I don't want to miss anything. And that's the way Frank Lloyd Wright come with his philosophy in life. So we all recognize that any goal that is worth achieving demands a great deal of our energy. If you're a doctor or a nurse, you've got to spend hours alone in studying the human body and residency. The life of your patient demands it. If you're a teacher, you must live in the library, researching and preparing for your lectures and your class. The mind of your students demand it. If you're a carpenter, you must patiently measure the building before you hit the first nail. The integrity of the structure depends upon it. If you're a mother, you must sacrifice your life for another, your children. Your children require it. A father, if you sacrifice the many things for raising your sons and your daughters, it's important. Children can't live without a mother and a father. If we didn't have goals, though, and we wouldn't work to fulfill them, I don't think any sane person would argue you got to have goals and you got to be able to work towards them. But what young Wright discovered at the tender age of 9 is what some of us don't learn until we're 49, 59, 69, 79, sometimes 89. Because the objective of life is not the goal of the journey that we're on. The whole goal is to gather around and be able to share with one another and to help one another towards the goal. But that's what happened to Jesus. The whole group of people gathered around the door when he was at Simon Peter's mother-in-law. They just kind of jammed into the door, piling up, because they knew that he cast out many demons and he was teaching consistently. And his disciples didn't help the matter so much. So in the morning, early in the morning, after the day was over, Jesus went out by himself to pray. The disciples were befuddled for that because when they got up, Jesus wasn't there. So they went searching for him. And they found him. Jesus, what are you doing? Everybody's looking for you. You got to perform miracles and do this healing and all that. That's what you're called to do. So how do we enjoy the journey of life? When everyone and everything is searching for us, pushing in. We call it stress or pressure. Wanting a piece of us, demanding our time. We remember that all hard work is required. We have to work. We have jobs. We have to work at home. We do homework. We work on our marriages, and we do all kinds of work. And I think the most instinctively thing is what the little book of Proverbs does. I like to do a teaching on that sometimes. Have you ever read the book of Proverbs entirely? You know, the world says an apple a day will keep the doctor away. God's word says a proverb a day will keep the devil away. It's really some wonder. We call it wisdom literature. And it's got a lot of information. So Proverbs warns us. It says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your want will come in like a blind man. The Bible, in that wisdom, Proverbs says, we are fools. If we say to ourselves, a little more sleep and a little bit more slumber, oh, I'll get up in a little bit and snooze the alarm. We work because we got to get up, and living demands it. Any of us who are grandparents are fond of reminding young people and our own children about the work ethic. The work ethic is sort of almost a thing of the past anymore in our society. We need to reclaim that. But grandchildren are really special. And grandparents always teach them what they can of maybe some things that they miss. We heard parents growing up or grandparents say, you know, good is better. Never let it rest. Until your good is better, and your better is the best. All these little cliches. Every family's got little proverb pearls that have been passed down to their children. You might remember some of them. I remember this one. Well, idle hands are a devil's workshop. Work hard, Butchie. Hard work is good for the soul. And I found that to be true. So to have a goal and to apply yourself and accomplish that goal, there's no feeling like it to accomplish something and look back and see how you got there. It wasn't always a straight path. And when I look at Jesus in this Gospel of Mark, look at what kind of day that he had. First, Jesus was just getting started on the job. He was beginning his 3 years of ministry right there in that particular time zone to the people in Israel. It was the beginning of his ministry. And Mark tells us that after one of his first sermons, he is thrown into the thick of things. He was ready to go. After his first sermon in the synagogue, then boom, he was gone, ready to go. They leave the synagogue complete and go right to Peter's mother's house, says she was sick. She had a fever, and he healed her. He takes her by the hand, and he helps her out, up, and then the fever leads her. And what does she do? She goes to work. She waits on Peter, James, John, Simon, and Andrews, and the other disciples all at the same time. You would think that she would have said, oh, I got to lay here for a little bit, get my strength back. No, when Jesus healed her, she got up. She probably cooked for the whole crew. But after the sun sets, all the people in this small town that brought all their sick people and the demon-possessed people, they all gathered at the door of Peter's mother's house, or his mother-in-law, really, wasn't his mother. Nothing more is said there about Peter's mother-in-law, but I'm sure she could not have imagined after starting her day with a deadly fever that she would end up entertaining 12 disciples and the rabbi. Then ending the day with the town descending on her home, at some point in her evening, finally all got tired and they all finally went to sleep. But instead of sleeping in, Jesus gets up before dawn. He leaves the house to pray. And Simon Peter and his company went looking for him. Where is Jesus? We got to find him. And there they found him in solitude and in prayer. And they said, everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Now, Jesus could have said a number of things to them, but what he said is surprising. It's a message for all of us. Instead of trying to get across the obvious that he is trying to have a moment alone, all to himself with God the Father, he said, you're right, Simon. You're right. Let's go to the next town and get started. There's a little book that they passed out at the PPR training event, and I was thinking about trying to use that one to start our men's meeting with, but so later on we can do it. And it's a little book that a doctor wrote that left the practice of medicine and went into the ministry. And he wrote this book called 24-6. We hear 24-7 in our society today, and he is focusing on the importance of rest one day a week. So there they are. They're ready to go. They're back in hustling. They're going to heal more people and minister the gospel. Got to keep on running. It's important to have that time of prayer. But Jesus said, Simon, you know, you're right. Let's go. We got to get started. In Africa, there's something that happens every morning. Like here, sun comes up. But in Africa, a gazelle awakes when the sun comes up. And he knows that he must outrun the fastest lion or he'll be eaten. When the sun comes up, also the lion wakes up. He knows that he's got to outrun the slowest gazelle or he will starve. You see, in the end, it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better get running. So I want to go somewhere else and preach, Jesus said. I want to leave this area. I want to go and do what I'm called to do. He said, that's why I came. He understood the charge that he had to keep and to set about doing it. Perhaps he didn't even get time he needed for solitude, rest, and a lot of times we don't either. When everybody is searching for you, everybody wants your attention, it's a reminder that hard work is required. The other thing is when people are searching for you, you should remember not to let others define your goal. How do we work hard and keep it from killing us? I think the obvious answer is to take some time off, some time away from work. You can do it by yourself or with family and friends, but you need that Sabbath rest. There is, however, other ways of combating fatigue. If we look at the very short and subtle exchange between Peter and James, Peter had just come from his mother-in-law's house, and he said to Jesus, everyone's searching for you. And it sounds like he's pretty excited about something, but it's chastising. He was chastising Jesus for slipping away to have a little time to himself. My question is this. Who is searching for Jesus? Other disciples? The sick that he healed? His mother? Peter's mother-in-law? Yeah, I think they're all searching for him. But there's more in this little passage of Scripture. What had happened was when the sun came up, the town descended upon this poor woman's house who had just got up from fever. They had no idea that she'd been sick just a couple of hours before. They had no idea. And she had no idea what to do with them. Chase them away. What do you do? Thomas, old Doubting Thomas. I love Doubting Thomas. He certainly wasn't going to heal them. Thomas said, I don't know how to do all this. I can't do this healing. We got to go find Jesus. James didn't know how to cast out demons. Peter didn't. So he run to find Jesus. And if we look closely at Jesus' response, where else could he go? I can hear Simon Peter stammering now. Well, Jesus, they're sick. What do I tell my mother-in-law? You've got to come. But here's the surprise. Jesus did not feel that he had to respond to every need. And it's been odd to me over the years that people imagine Jesus met every need. When Jesus was in Capernaum, he was not in Bethsaida. The people in Bethsaida could have been healed. When he was in the wilderness, people back in town were suffering. Jesus didn't meet every need when he was here of the people. in the Israeli part of the world during his 3 years. And you think, why? What wasn't his goal? Simon Peter thought it was the goal of Jesus to heal everyone, every time, everywhere. He thought that was the goal. But we have to focus. And we have to keep our guard up in our life as we go through this thing called life. You might remember, it's been a few years ago now, that Flight 401 bound for Miami from New York City, loaded with a bunch of holiday passengers. And this huge aircraft approaching the Miami airport for its landing, the light indicated that the landing gear had not properly deployed because the light didn't come on. And they didn't know what to do. So they decided, well, we're going to circle for a little bit. And they flew in large circling areas over the swamps of the Everglades. While the cockpit crew went back and tried to figure out what was going on with the landing gear. They thought, well, maybe the landing gear actually deployed and maybe it's just the light bulb that's burned out. Maybe it's defective. We'll try to replace the light bulb and see if that happens. And the flight engineer fiddled with the bulb and he tried to remove it, but it wouldn't budge. Then another tried. And you can believe that all eyes on that aircraft was focused on that little light bulb that refused to be dislodged from the socket. The amazing thing is nobody was paying attention that the plane was losing altitude. And it dropped right into the swamp. Many people were killed in that plane crash. Well, the most experienced pilot and crew all messed with a 75-cent light bulb. The entire airplane and the many passengers were lost because the crew forgot the most basic things of all rules in the air. And even in the time that we live in with these driverless cars, the pilot forgot to fly the airplane. That's why it went down. I look around and I wonder some of these people. I like to drive with cruise control, and I try to stay attention to them, watch what I'm doing. Makes Judy nervous. But sometimes you got to kick that cruise control off and drive the car. The same thing can happen in the local church. The church can have so many activities, so many programs, so many projects, committee meetings and banquets and cover dish dinners and all that kind of stuff. And we keep spinning our wheels sometimes trying to build the church and trying to get attendance up. You would think anything with such eternal significance of having a relationship with God, that should be the congregation's primary objective. And I'm sad to say that not every congregation has that as an objective. So what is Jesus' goal? Jesus said it was to preach. That is why I came. He said, I came to preach. I'm an itinerant minister. There may be some healings along the way. Peter said, let's not get lost in the hysteria. Let's stay focused. Jesus said, I will focus on the ministry of preaching the kingdom of God. And we got to go to be able to touch all these towns. Because when I'm gone, you all are left behind to carry the gospel. I think they did a pretty good job. I like network marketing. I've been part of network marketing. And it's the whole purpose of network marketing is when you become successful, you duplicate yourself in somebody else. Jesus started with 12, quickly went to 11, and now we have over 3.5 billion disciples of Christ in the world. So our goal needs to be share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone who is searching. And remember, don't let people in the world define our goal. It's a one-on-one thing to share the gospel. You might lose your focus at times and make your work hard and difficult. But finally, when everyone is searching for you, remember to pray. Our Lord needed to go and pray and be by himself. And there may not be a lot of time to get adequate prayers when the crowd's descending upon you. But you can pray in the Spirit. So Sometimes Jesus had 12 disciples coming at him, demons to deal with, sick family members. But he found a moment. Even if you have to go and hide a little bit sometimes. I used to do that when I was a chaplain in the hospital. I found some areas in the hospital I could hide because sometimes it just got to be overwhelming. You'll find eventually that you will know and you'll be able to practice to maybe be sure that you take care of yourself spiritually. And you know what food will help you to do that? Work hard, pray, have a love relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Work on our marriages and also work right here in the church. Work hard for the kingdom of God. It'll help you. It'll help you to do other things in your life if you stay focused on your goal. That might not be your job to preach. Not everybody is called to preach, and I know that. But everybody is called to be a minister of the gospel. Because if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, we have an obligation to share that same joy and peace with everyone. But sometimes we get sidetracked. And I know that. But you need to say, oh, Lord, I need to take time. I need to take time for rest and to refocus my life. Sometimes that's just enough to be able to overcome so many things in this life.